Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Constantly connected and keeping you company. Really enjoying ourselves with you, and you, alhamdulillah. And Boniface, hey, he's on top nasheeds. He's on the ball, people. He's on the quick finger, the Boniface, doing a splendid job on the board. And joining us, he's a member of parliament. He's a leader of the NFP. He's a firebrand also, our very own Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, beautiful morning in the city of Durban. Absolutely blue skies. I think it's a mashallah day, particularly for people that want to or like to frequent the ocean. Well, there's a whole lot that's going on. I think the issue of the president is continuing. Political parties are calling for him to step down or an impeachment process to take place over and above the vote of no confidence. An independent inquiry is going to be held. But again, people are saying that he should step aside given what has actually happened. That's just one of the issues, I think, that is dominating the politics, particularly the media in the country at this point in time. It's very important, Brother Shafat, to look at how the international community looks at the way we deal with matters of this nature, where the head of the country is implicated in so much. So that's Johnson & Johnson once again. If you remember that this matter came up before, this time it's the Johnson & Johnson baby powder, which they are discontinuing. And if you know that Johnson & Johnson at some stage, there were serious allegations that some of their products led to cancer. There were many lawsuits against them and things. So it seems like now they've decided to withdraw the Johnson's baby powder. The issue of the July unrest, and we see there's about 21 of them arrested amongst them. There's a teacher involved, there's financial assistance or financial advisors, and optometrist, I think, and things. So, but there's a whole going on. Mokweng wants to go into politics, in terms of my understanding, Brother Shafat, he cannot, because retired judges are not able to participate in politics. Because remember, they get paid for life in terms of their retirement and things like the pension and things. So I'm not sure how he expects to do this. Johannesburg is facing a major problem in terms of the hijacking of buildings or properties, particularly if you leave them, you know, unattended or vacant for a period of time. Now, I've had on Thursday and Friday, we visited the Krugersdorp area and the Krugersdorp mine where the rape took place of these girls. And our understanding is that they went to do a movie there. It's not a safe area. The strange thing is, the person who took them there is an ex-police officer from the area who ought to know what is how serious and dangerous the place is. But she took them there. And more importantly, she was there with her daughter as well. And strangely enough, this became a bone of contention when we went there. There were two whites, so three whites and one Indian, and they were not raped at all. So, you know, they're trying to turn this into a racial thing. That's one of the things we've observed. But more importantly, Benjamin, this entire village called West Village, which is, the Zama-Zamas, as they call them, are running riot. When I tell you running riot, these people have to go to remain indoors from as early as about 6 o'clock in the evening till the next morning, 5 o'clock. They can't leave their homes. But what was very important that came out in terms of the report by the station commissioner, the levels of rape and murder is very high. And some of the reasons, and the most important reason that he gave us was that many of these foreigners that come into the country from Lesotho particularly, they either befriend women in Cape in that area or marry them because they can't have bank accounts and all that stuff. And then these women tend to take their money and run away or close the accounts. And then in revenge, these people are raping them and murdering them. And it's rife. But secondly, and very importantly, Lesotho citizens or the Zamazamas believe that they have a right over these mines and that area because they supply the water from Lesotho. They've worked for centuries or decades in those mines. They made this country profitable, so they're entitled to it. That's the other problem that we tend to have there. But I can tell you that even though I met the Minister of Police at the business lounge and on the airport on my way back to Durban, and he thinks he's done a fantastic job, I can tell you now, 10 years later, you'll find the problem just getting worse. They don't have the capacity. They don't have the skills. You need more than just even the army, not the South African army, because of the terrain. Brother Shafa, these people are building tunnels underneath, leading to other villages. Can you imagine? Underground. So there's very little or nothing you can do. The police are actually helpless in this situation. So I think a lot more work needs to be done if we want to get some success in dealing with the levels of crime. I mean, if you look at the report we had from the police, they've got about 44 vehicles. There's only 22 or 24 of them are operating. Some of them are lying in the garages for over 2 years, 3 years. They don't have enough officers. You know, the lady who, the officer who's in charge of the FCS unit, which is femicide and child trafficking and things, Brother Shafat, she says she can't even sleep on the weekend with the number of calls that she gets from parents reporting their children who have gone partying and things like that or clubbing and have not returned home.
I tell you, it's a really dire strait, Ahmad. And Jazakallah Khair for giving us a hands-on report on that Zama, what's happening there. And as you said, it has a historical background. And, you know, if you look at many of the issues in this country, it does have a historical background. And by the way, we don't get our water for free from Lesotho and all these dams and so forth. These you can't even explain these to the people. But the sad part is that they are opportunists. And there are criminal elements that have infiltrated these other innocent people and are making hay while the sun shines, Ahmad. Your thoughts on that?
There's no doubt about it. But more importantly, Brother Shafat, and I raised this question three times and never got an answer. Where is the intelligence? Is it working? You know, the major concern for me is this, and this actually shocked me. The head of the Minerals and Energy, the DG, he says that they, they found, because we were trying to establish who are these people selling these things to. It has to be a very lucrative business. And certainly these miners, illegal miners or Zamazamas, are not mining for themselves. Okay? They do not have the capacity, the management skills, right? They have nothing. And what we found is there are big syndicates perhaps involved. But what the head said, that he sees these big vehicles as Land Rovers and all parked there. Now, what is the simplest thing to have done is to take those registration numbers, give it to crime intelligence, and tell them to investigate who these things belong to, so you might be able to establish who the actual big guns are. I can tell you now, it appears there are big organizations that are involved in this illegal mining. So these people are going underground. They are mining under horrendous conditions, Brother Shafat. You know, we couldn't even walk close to the mine because of the ground. There's nothing underneath. It's like tunnels. You just fall down. That's how bad it is that they have created underground. Now, they are not able to, up to this stage, identify who the culprits are. Secondly, these mining houses who owned the mines have mind, and now they've left the mind, so they disused. They were supposed to rehabilitate those minds. They did not do that. Now, in terms of the agreement that they've had, now with what government has introduced, government will have to take taxpayers' money to rehabilitate those minds. Government does not have a problem because, according to them, there is some mineral still underneath, so it will be okay. But does government have the capacity to do it? No. Do they have the resources to do it? No. Who are they going to employ? Because those areas are infested with chaos, infested with people like the all foreigners, whether you talk about Mozambicans or Lesotho citizens, or you talk about Nigerians, that is what it's infested with. But another important point that has come up, Brother Shevin, when children, particularly little boys in those areas, go missing, they are taken into these mines and they stay in the underground and they are used as sex slaves. These little boys and girls that go missing are used by these foreigners as sex slaves or sex workers. That's what's happening. So even the sex trade is a major problem. And of course, drugs is a major problem. So you are correct. It's more criminal. But because of the closeness of the border to the Lesotho and others, some of these people have taken advantage of it. And the weakness isn't on our porous borders, of course, that people can come in and get out.
I'm looking at the message from Salim. He says, Jazakallah khair, comprehensive report on the Zama Zamas. Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, illegal mining, South African economy takes a whopping 41 billion hit when it comes to this illegal mining. I believe over 6,000 mines are also compromised. And also, Ahmad, I believe that these cartels are so professional that they are actually melting the gold there and then as soon as it's mined. And it's sold as a complete product. How true is this, Ahmad?
Well, it's in all likelihood that is the situation. That is why the question is, why is the intelligence not working? Where is your informers? Now, another major problem is just that these foreigners, particularly the Lesotho, they work with people, you know, local citizens. Even in those mines, in the illegal mines and the legal mines, the mines that are in operation, it is the local ones that's colluding with the foreigners. There's also been corruption where police officers have been involved. But, you know, the commander gave us an example there as well, Brother Shah, that these criminals, Zamas and things, when they get caught, they try to negotiate with the police officer. If they fail there, if there's a good police officer, he investigates and hands it to the detective. Then these foreign Zamas go and negotiate with the detective. If they fail with the detective, the matter goes to court. Then they go and negotiate with the prosecutors. So the corruption is not just on the police at local level. It goes further into the investigation. Fails there, it goes further to the justice system. And then, according to him, you know, the criminals say, you see, I told you I'll get away with it, and they get away with it. So there is a lot of mining taking place, but the Brother Salim is absolutely correct. There are big guys that are behind these people. Okay, and don't be surprised if it is the same people who used to mine there before have now dumped it, okay, because they've made enough and gone. And that are now benefiting through the illegal mining. So there are big guys behind it, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that indeed, Ahmad. And also, I was looking at the footage. I don't know if you saw it. There was this robbery at a jewelry shop, and it happened to be a whole Egyptian family, you know, ladies and men together. They came and distracted the owner of the shop, and they stole a whole tray of bangles and 21 carats. Plated gold and all these things happening. It's sad now. You find the Egyptians have infiltrated the illegal mafia market of this country. Talk to us about it, Ahmad.
I haven't seen that yet, but I think it's very disappointing and disturbing. If that's what I can tell you, brother, what this is leading to. This country has some very honest, credible, hardworking foreign nationals in the country. What is going to happen? All the foreign nationals in the country are going to suffer as a result of the unlawful conduct of some of them. And that's what. But I can tell you now, in terms of what the minister said to you, I was also there to give us a briefing, Minister Motsoaledi. The mechanisms that he's going to put in place and he's busy with at the moment, that's going to be very difficult for foreigners to live in South Africa unless they are properly documented. So, you know, it is. But with foreign nationals, like the Egyptians, you would, you know, you could, at least in you know that Pakistan has these criminal syndicates. You know, many of these syndicates come from Nigeria, the DRC, Swaziland, Mozambique, and some of these other countries. It's very rare to find them from Egypt, to be honest, really in South Africa. But if that's the route it's going, it means that this anybody and everybody now is taking to criminality, because we don't know if perhaps it's a matter of survival of the fittest.
You know, especially if you're undocumented, I mean, are you ready? You literally can get away with murder because your fingerprints are not there, your documents are not there. You're like an alien that has come from outer space, Ahmed.
That's one of the problems the law enforcement is having, is that you don't have a record because they're coming in illegally, they're going out illegally. And that's the problem. Now, if you talk about Lesotho citizens particularly, they don't need no visa. They just got their passport, they come through. So it does become a problem, but of course with the new biometric system that Home Affairs has introduced, if people come in legally, then the fingerprints are recorded and you might be able to trace them a lot easier. But in the absence of that, and which I think is going to take a long time, and we know that Home Affairs system has a lot of problems. In fact, CETA is the problem. So it will go on for many years. But if you want to deal with crime, particularly committed by these foreigners as well, you need a holistic approach. You need Home Affairs to come in with SARS, with the Defence Force, with law police, all the other role players. If you take that particular area that I'm talking about, West Village, Bereshefford, if you look at the terrain, you're going to, even I can tell you the Defence Force of South Africa won't be able to do justice. You have to be very well, very, very, very well prepared to be able to deal with those problems. The difficulty is created by themselves because you've allowed it to go on for so long. Had you nipped it in about the early stages, you would have been able to contain it, not anymore. So it's exactly the same thing all over the country. But I'm concerned because the minister brags. He's achieved so much there. I don't know. When we got there, there's nothing achieved according to what we could do and see.
Looking at the message on the screen again, Yunus says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. I can tell you that the foreigners that are coming into this country are using Swaziland as a easy spot to get into South Africa. Virtually nothing is being done from Swaziland to the South African border. These people are getting away literally for scot-free. This is how what Yunus says. Your response, Ahmed?
According to the report by the minister, he says we don't have a problem. Swaziland, he gave us example in Botswana, Swaziland, Namibia are very, very strict on foreigners in their countries. So they are not the ones that are actually giving us a problem. It's our own people that are giving us a problem allowing these people to come in. He gave examples of how some of them escaped from South Africa and went into Zimbabwe and other countries, and how Zimbabwe immediately contacted him and they had to be brought back. So I'm told that some of the neighboring countries are doing a fantastic job in dealing with foreigners in their countries. But it's the South African side that is the problem. There's no doubt about it. But the brother is correct that the weakness appears on the side of the Zimbabwean border, on the Swazi border, the Lesotho, all those areas. But it is not because of the weaknesses in of officials or the system in their country. The weakness appears to be more from our side through corruption. But any foreigner in Namibia also found, they are dealt with immediately. And That's the explanation he gave. That is why he said he's not going to be concentrating on the Namibia and things at this stage. He's going to be concentrating on this area around Lesotho, Mozambique, Swaziland and things, because that's where they're coming in from.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Dudula movement. I think this week they were busy in the Durban area, the Durban CBD, you know, going for foreigners and giving them a hiding. Were you aware of that?
Brother Shafat, yes, they are setting up base and doing this all over the country. However, while they are busy, government is busy with the defense force, preparing them for the inevitable. You know, I remember, Brother Shafat, not long ago when we discussed someone, I think, raised concern that you might be causing panic to the people because of this unrest. But here you can see government, the president himself is involved, getting the defense force ready. So there is more than we think, you know, that meets the eye that is expected in the short, from now running up to December, to the conference of the ANC. But yes, this Operation Dudula is intensifying their effort to rid the country of foreigners. And they are working with others. You do know that they have split now because they want to go into politics and the Dlamini guy is no more with them. But these guys are going out there. But at the same time, I want to tell you, Brother Shafat, our locals are also taking advantage as well because they are now going and hijacking all these buildings. And most of these buildings are occupied by foreigners, but foreigners who pay their rental to the local landlords. And it's also making it very, very difficult. But you can't have vigilante groups, Brother Shafat. It just shows this lawlessness in our country that they will have to go and take the laws into their own hands and do the work of law enforcement. And yes, and I think, in my understanding from a report that I've seen, that the foreign nationals are bracing themselves and preparing to fight Operation Dudula and others who want them out. So there can be an all-out war between the locals and the foreign nationals in this country at some stage if we allow Operation Dudula and others to do what they are actually doing. You know, you find Operation Dudula is not going out to those criminal syndicates and going and dealing with them, which is what organizations like PAGAD used to do, you know. But yeah, they, you know, for me, you can see this is becoming more political football. I do agree that, you know, we have the foreigners in the country must remain here if they are well documented, they are properly documented, they can, you know, add to the economy of this country and things. But if they are here unlawfully, I think, you know, the different departments must come through and clean out the country. In fact, you got 10 years of cleaning out before you can even start ensuring that the new mechanisms that you're going to put in place is going to work. You can do it concurrently, but simultaneously you have to deal with those that are here undocumented.
Look at a message here. EB says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Jazakallah khair for gracing the platform, the Markaz Sahaba. And Jazakallah Shafaat for bringing him on. He says, I agree with Ahmed Manzoor Sheikh Imam. Our people are complicit. We are employing all these illegal people who do not have the proper documentation. We are employing them for cheap labor. And some of us are even keeping them in our own places, in our backyards and so forth. Please, Ahmed, come and clean it out. We one day will be held responsible for not being loyal to South Africa. How do you respond to EB, Ahmed?
In all levels of crime, Brother Shafat, locals always, whether you talk about the procurement or corruption thing that is taking place, locals are involved. Whether you talk about these kidnapping syndicates, locals are colluding with the foreigners. It's exactly the same thing with the Zama Zamas that you're having in that Krugersdorp area. And yes, it is true that even though we know that foreign nationals are in the country undocumented, we do very little for nothing. We are aiding and abetting them by allowing them, you know, to be in the country. And, you know, crime as a whole, Brother Shafat, you cannot tell me, Brother Shafat, that in a particular area, where drug dealing and everything is taking place, members of this community don't know who they are. They know. That is why I say even the CPFs and things are not effective. You know, of the CPFs that came and appeared before us, Brother Shepherd, I can tell you when they spoke, they made it look like everything is fine, perfect, until this young girl came in and came in late. And then she gave us a completely different perspective of how the situation is, completely. In fact, I've seen a video after I came back of this girl taking on the minister as well. It's exactly what she did when we were there as well. And I can tell you, a bright young woman, and she's telling you firsthand the problems we got. And what came out is that the locals are aiding and abetting these foreigners. The locals have been aiding them from inside the mine and in the communities as well. The locals are opening up businesses and things under their name, but it is for foreign nationals. They are opening bank accounts in their name, but for foreign nationals. So in all what we do, it is the foreign nationals are aided and abetted by local South Africans, and that's the reason why we have what we have.
Ahmed, we've got about a minute and a half to go. Your parting words this morning?
Well, the good news, I think, is that there appears to be another drop in the price of petrol that might be coming up at the end of the month. However, you know, like I said before, and if you look at the Operation Dudula, what they are up to, and very importantly, the protests that are erupting all over the country, and the fact that the president has personally intervened, asking for the Defense Force to be, you know, ready in 25 hours, they can be called upon into different areas of the country. It simply means that, you know, we must expect some kind of protest or civil unrest in the country, you know, leading up to December and a little beyond that. But other than that, I think, you know, COVID-19 is still there. We are still having some level of infection and death. But something, Brother Shafa, that I think we all as South Africans and worldwide, I think, should be addressing is why is it that at such a young age people are starting to die? We are losing people, Brother Shafat, at very early stages in their life. What is it that we are eating? What is it that we are drinking? What is it that we are not doing correctly that we are starting to lose so many people at younger ages? So maybe it's time as a community we need to take it upon ourselves to ensure that we, because government has got no interest in being. The health department's got no interest. For them, it's all about money and the capitalist system. We need to go back to the drawing board. If we love our family, we love our sisters and brothers and our children and things like that, surely we don't want to see them being sick. We don't want to see them die. We don't want to see them suffer. So maybe we need to doing some research into what is good to eat, what is good to drink, how should we be living our life, what is detrimental to our health, so that we can live longer, healthier lives and more, and be an asset to society. It's very important, but it's very painful when you hear people at young at 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 dying. You know, it's very painful. There has to be a change in direction if you want to create a better society. Like, I think you'll agree with me. I mean, we've never known what was a doctor, Brother Shafir. We didn't know what was a flu, even if you got that. You know, we had in-house treatment that, and we were better within days. But look at today, how many of our people are landing up in hospitals and how many of them are dying at the moment. And it is all, they say you are 80% of what you eat. And they say all your sicknesses, 80% of your illnesses come from what you eat and things. It's time to relook at it, Mother. Certainly it needs to relook at it.
And JazakAllah khair, Mother. You have a beautiful, lovely day ahead. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.